This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Two new short story collections take readers from war-torn Japan to a vision of Manhattan's Upper West Side filled with witches and banshees. Book critic Maureen Corrigan has a review.
Every semester, I warn my writing students against relying on the old comparison-contrast essay format. You know what I mean. Jay Gatsby and Captain Ahab, alike but different. It's such a predictable way of organizing material. So I hope none of those ex-students are listening now as I say that Mary Yukari Waters and Jane Avrich are two young women, both short story writers with exceptional debut collections that are, well, alike but different. I surrender. Sometimes the truth lurks in cliches. Which is what I feared Mary Yukari Waters' collection, The Laws of Evening, might turn out to be full of before I read it. Waters was born in Japan and moved to America when she was 9. She's half Japanese and half Irish-American. The 11 stories in her collection focus on women's lives in a chaotic Japan during and after World War II. I initially wondered if the fact that Waters had no firsthand knowledge of wartime rationing and bombings and life in an occupied country might make her go for stale observations borrowed from old war movies. Not to worry. Waters' empathic imagination is so vivid, she makes a reader feel like a silent witness to the small acts of cruelty and surrender that the history books can't record. Many of the women in these stories are remembering the war in the tranquility of their old age, which gives The Laws of Evening a melancholy tone, sometimes leavened with gallows humor. In a story called Since My House Burned Down, an old woman, displaced by her tomato sauce-wielding, Americanized daughter-in-law, almost fondly recalls resorting to eating raw chicken sushi during the war. In Shibusa, one of the most moving stories here, the atmosphere of grief is unalloyed. In a prologue to the tale, the narrator recalls how, as a girl, she excelled in the ancient rituals of etiquette. Her elders told her, however, that her graceful bows lacked something, they called shibusa, which roughly translates into sorrowful sentience. Later, our narrator marries and moves to Japanese-occupied China with her young husband, a business executive. They eventually have a son. In 1941, they return to their hometown in Japan. One day, when the woman is standing on a rationing line across town, bombs fall on their neighborhood, killing her family. Remembering that loss and the humiliation of a post-war encounter with one of her husband's former colleagues turned fish peddler, the narrator realizes that she and so many others in her generation have attained shibusa, sorrowful sentience, which is also what graces the stories in Waters' collection. The 15 tales in Jane Avrich's debut, The Winter Without Milk, are also mindful, especially of telling details, but wickedly so. Listen, for instance, to this description from the story Life in Dearth, where the narrator reminisces about her seaside childhood among economic and emotional tightwads. My aunt feared charity as much as my uncle. She would not accept so much as a spoonful of sugar, even if a neighbor had barrels to spare. Whatever was missing from a recipe, she'd supplement with sand. Her cakes and pies were granular and lump hard. Her pudding smelled of the sea. At Christmas time, her gingerbread cookies had pebble noses and seaweed hair. Random bites could chip your teeth, but you had to gag and bear it. Without a smidgen of fainness, Avrich stirs lots of literary allusions into her distinctive stories, some of which read like wry nightmares. Take Literary Lonely Hearts, which describes the travails of a man who signs on with a dating service that matches men with their ideal fictional heroines. His, regrettably, turns out to be the undependable Hester Prynne. Lady Macbeth and Cathy Earnshaw also make direct appearances here, while in the story called La Belle Dame Sans Merci, a young woman named Matilda attempts to seduce her neighbor, a married man with an ill wife, by slipping lines from Keats's spookier poetry under his door. where the stories in The Laws of Evening make their impression on a reader through the gentle, inexorable buildup of sadness, those in The Winter Without Milk are hectic, dramatic, and spiteful. Both collections live up to the promise of their elegantly odd titles.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. She reviewed The Laws of Evening by Mary Yukari Waters and The Winter Without Milk by Jane Avrich.